You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
10 years ago, our family attended a wedding down in Indianapolis. And we're sitting in the reception hall, very crowded reception hall, with some really good friends. And our pre-teenage daughter, Kiana, and her bestie, Ruby, were really thirsty. So we sent them to the opposite corner of this packed reception hall to go get a drink. And they finally made their way back. They're a little sweaty, working their way through the crowd. And they sit down and they had found orange juice. And they sat down and they took their first sip of orange juice and their faces scrunched up. And Kiana said, "This is terrible. I think it's spoiled, Dad. This is gross." Well, they were right. It didn't taste right because it was actually mimosa. It had alcohol in it. And so, yes, leave it to a preacher's daughter to be drinking. But to their credit, as soon as they tasted it, they were like, "We don't want this," right? Maybe you can relate. Maybe you're sitting down at a coffee shop and you're immersed in great conversation with your friend and you grab your, sweet cream cold brew and you go to take a big old swig and you realize that's Earl Grey tea. That was theirs, not mine. And it's just a shock to the system when what you think you're gonna taste is totally different than what you actually taste. Now, like I said, to Kiana and Ruby's credit, as soon as they tasted it, they realized this is not what we want to be drinking. But that illustrates something. Today we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture that encourages us to make sure we know what's in the glass in front of us. You see, when it comes to our spiritual lives, we have to be careful what we're consuming so we don't fall into false teaching. If you have your Bible and your sermon notes, I'd encourage you to join me in the book of 1 John chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I just want to say what a privilege it is for me to be a part of the teaching team for this. My name is Mark Vincenti. I'm the campus pastor at Huntington University right down the road. I was on staff here for 4 years and I'm a member here and my family and I attend here. And it's just been great for me to be a part of this teaching team for this series. Now, to remind you of where we've been over the past couple of months, we've been working our way through the book of 1 John. We've worked our way through the first three chapters, and we can't review everything. I'd encourage you, if you missed any sermons, we've had some great sermons, to go back and watch them online. But one thing I do want to review is these three tests of salvation, or three tests for Christianity that we've seen repeated over and over again here in this book. The first is this theological test, or a theological reality. And that is, you got to get Jesus Christ right. That's the first thing. And then you've got this moral test. And that's this reality that obedience to Christ is absolutely essential, that we live lives of righteousness as we abide in Jesus Christ. And then the third test is a social test. And that's the reality that we as Christians are called to love everyone with whom we come into contact with. And John the Apostle in this book, he keeps on hitting these three things in different ways to emphasize the reality that these are critical for us as Christians, these three things. And now we come to chapter 4, and we're going to be warned about false teachers who don't have the Spirit of God in them, but have the Spirit of God's enemy. And we're going to be warned to see what's in the glass of God's Spirit versus what's in the glass of false spirits and false prophets. So I'd like to pray as we open the word. Let's pray and open our hearts to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are light, and in you there is no darkness. So shine your light into our hearts as we open your word today. Jesus, you are our good shepherd. Would you shepherd us as we open your word today? Holy Spirit, you guide us into all truth. Guide us into truth today. We welcome your presence, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to read 1 John 4, 1 to 6. I'd encourage you to follow along with me as I read. And then what we'll do is we'll unpack some critical lessons from this very important passage in the scriptures. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we're going to talk about defeating deception in Jesus' name. Every Christian can defeat spiritual deception by taking to heart the three lessons that we learn from this passage today. In this passage, we receive warning, we receive encouragement, and we receive advice. So let's dive in and take a look at each of those. First, the warning. And the warning is beware. Beware. Right at the beginning of this passage, we're told that there are false prophets, that there are false spirits, that the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world, that they get Jesus wrong, and we're told, beware. And there are several warnings embedded in this that we need to look at really quick. Five warnings. Warning one, there are teachers, prophets, and influencers who are not from God. So not everybody who talks about God or who has something to say or that people follow is from God. That's the first warning. Second warning, false prophets are driven by evil or deceptive spirits. And so we don't want to be following evil and deceptive spirits. So that's a warning that we are given. A third warning, false teachers get Jesus wrong. Spirits that don't confess Jesus are not from God. I want to sit on this one before we go to the next two. It is vital that we know the truth about Jesus, and it's vital that we can spot the lies as well. Now, the best way to spot the lie about something is to first know the truth about something. So let me give you a non-spiritual example from my own life. So about 6 months ago, I was sitting in my backyard and I was noticing the spring birds were starting to come out, and I'm noticing all these bird songs. And then a couple months later, I noticed there's just one bird that's just singing all the time in the backyard, and it's really pretty song. And my wife said, well, there's this app called Merlin you can get, and you just hit play and then it records it and tells you what bird it is. I'm like, that's really cool. So I hear this pretty bird song. So I'm like, what is it? So it turns out it's a robin. Now, I thought robins were just good for bouncing around in the spring, you know, picking up worms and then making a huge mess on my car as they're being all territorial. But it turns out they also have a really pretty song. So now I start listening and I'm hearing robin songs everywhere. I'm walking around on campus at Huntington University. There's robin songs. And so one day I was doing a prayer walk around Huntington University and I'm hearing all these different birds and I hear robins singing. There's a robin. And then I hear this, go a little further, I hear a robin again, but I'm like, wait a minute, it's the same pitch as a robin. I'm a musician, so I'm starting to evaluate the song. I'm like, but the notes are a little quicker and they're a little more angular. And I'm, well, I should pull out my app. So I pulled out my app. Is it a robin or isn't it? Turns out it was a house finch. So same pitch, but it's a little bit different. Well, you know, 6 months before, there's no way I would have known the difference between a robin or a house finch or a red-shouldered hawk or anything else. But because I have been listening and tuning in to the robin song, now I knew when something different was coming my way. John wants us to be so in tune with the Savior's song that when something different comes our way, even if it sounds a little bit similar, we'll be able to identify that it's not the same. John's almost obsessed with this. He wrote 5 books in the Bible. He wrote the gospel, which is a biography about Jesus to help us to see who Jesus is, what Jesus did, what Jesus taught. He wrote these 3 letters and a key theme in each one of them is make sure you get Jesus right. And then he penned the book of Revelation, which is a revelation of Jesus Christ. He's obsessed with making sure we know who Jesus is and what Jesus did, that we get Jesus right. So let's pause for a minute and let's ask this question. Who is Jesus? Not who do you say Jesus is, though that's important, but who is Jesus as revealed in the scriptures? And John, in his five books, he gives us lots of different descriptions. So let me just taking from some of John's writings, here's who Jesus is. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is light. Jesus is love. Jesus is the good shepherd of our souls. Jesus is the great I am. He's the gateway to salvation. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Lion of Judah with all power. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the bread of heaven for hungry hearts. He is the river of life for thirsty souls. He is the eternal God of creation and the Word made flesh. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. Jesus is this, and so much more is revealed in the scriptures. That's just some highlights from John. John wants us to know that Jesus is the eternal God of the universe, who always existed, the second person in the Trinity, who came in the flesh to earth, died on the cross, rose again, ascended and seats on high, and he rules and reigns forever, and he saved us because he loves us. That's what we need to know about Jesus. And we find these truths about Jesus in the scriptures. It's important that we handle the scriptures correctly. There was a time when Jesus was confronting some religious leaders, some Pharisees, and they were using the Old Testament to justify their flawed thinking. And Jesus said this, he said, hey, you search the scriptures because you think in them you'll find eternal life, but it is they that bear witness about me. If you want to know what the scriptures are really about, it's about me, Jesus says. If you want to know about God the Father, look at me. Everything is wrapped up in me. Everything points to me, is what Jesus says. So Jesus is the foundation. He's the lens, the filter through which we should view life and understand God. He's the axis upon which all true and good theology spins. Jesus is the center of it all. So brothers and sisters, when we hear people talking about Christianity or making claims about God or this, that, and the other, well, let's take it back to Jesus as revealed in the Word of God and see if it lines up. That's really important. So, Jesus is vital. And false teaching gets Jesus wrong. That's a warning. Now, let's take a look and let's talk a little bit about cults and false teaching. The problem with false teaching is it gets Jesus wrong. It messes with this. Now, there were cults in John's day, and then there was false teaching and cults all throughout history, and there's been cults and false teaching today. So I want to just hit each of those briefly. There was a heresy circulating when John wrote this letter, and it distinguished between Jesus the man and Jesus the supernatural being, and it said Jesus didn't actually become supernatural until the Holy Spirit came on him at his baptism. And then shortly before his crucifixion, sort of the supernatural part of him went away because a supernatural being can't die on the cross. And so then he became human again. So somehow he wasn't everything all the time. And that is just flat out wrong. That's just flat out wrong. Jesus was always the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, and he will be forever. Yet Jesus became a human being. But when he did that, scripture is clear. He didn't stop being God. He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. Jesus always was who he has been, and he always will be who he has been. It's amazing. My son Carver would say, that's a brain breaker, Dad, and he's right. The number one problem John's confronting is that they get Jesus wrong. Now, throughout church history, in the 19 or so hundred years since John wrote this, we've had lots of false teaching in different ways as well. And that's why church councils have been called together. There are different people who have, and skeptics who have said that, oh, the church councils, they got together and they changed what Christianity was. And that's not actually true. The reason church councils got together is because there were these false teachings popping up and they needed to clarify what the scriptures had always said and what the church had always taught about Jesus. And so they created things like the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, which were condensing biblical teaching and Christian teaching into short statements that we could hold on to that said, this is what we've always believed. And now we have false beliefs and false religions happening in the world today as well. And I just want to highlight how to identify when something's a false teaching. And they're really false teaching tends to mess with one of these three or multiple of these three things: the Savior, salvation, and Scripture. The Savior, that's who Jesus is, the identity of Christ. They mess with the identity of Jesus. Salvation is what Jesus did, especially the cross and the resurrection. False teaching, false religion will say stuff like, well, the cross wasn't really necessary, or Jesus actually wasn't on the cross, it was someone else, or he didn't actually die there. Or they'll mess with the resurrection. Well, the resurrection wasn't essential. Jesus didn't actually rise, he just passed out, and then he, stuff like that. False teaching will mess with salvation, especially the cross and resurrection. And false teaching always messes with Scripture, what Jesus said. And the Word of God, the Bible, is the Word of God. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. We don't need to re-change it. It is the Word of God. So false teaching will always mess with the Savior, salvation, and Scripture. So beware of that. And here's the point. The point of all this is, if you get Jesus wrong, you're drinking from the wrong glass. You're drinking from the wrong glass. As Christians, we need to be careful and beware of what the ingredients are in the glass that we're drinking. And that's the thing. The tricky thing about cults and false teaching is they might use some of the same language. It'll look exactly the same. It might sound the same. The language will be used. They might say Jesus is the Son of God. But when you actually dig into what that means, it doesn't mean what the Bible says it means. So when you mess with the fundamental ingredients, then you're drinking from the wrong glass. All right, the next warning is the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world now. Now, John, the apostle, he also penned the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, he talks about the Antichrist that will come at the end of time, this lawless one. But what he's saying here is, hey, the spirit that drives that, that deceptive spirit, is in the world now. One day that Antichrist, that actual person will come, but the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world now. And there are all different avenues, guys, by which influencers and false teaching comes to us. I know we think about religion, but it's not just religion. It comes through things like the arts and entertainment. It comes through things like business, self-help, leadership, psychology, books, and podcasts. We see it in politics. We see it in social issues. We see it on social media. It comes through all different kinds of avenues to lead us astray. And it comes to us from all different directions. It comes to us from the left and from the right. It comes to us through the secular world and through the religious world. It comes to us through cults and sometimes the Christian church. False teaching can come to us. So it comes to us from all different directions. False teaching is everywhere. Now that doesn't mean we can't trust anything, because there's plenty of great teaching too. But it means that we need to test everything. We need to be in tune with the Savior's song, so when a different song comes our way, we can identify it. So doesn't mean we can't trust anything, but we need to test everything. So we need to be wise and discerning so we can identify false teaching. And warning number five, false teachers are from the world, and so the world listens to them. The world is that which is opposed to God's kingdom and values. Now, I want to just look at this question. Why do people follow false teaching in the first place? Why would we do that? And I think scripturally, there are three reasons I want to look at. The flesh, we're fooled and we want to fit in. So let's take a look at each of those. Flesh is first. False teaching makes us feel good. The Apostle Paul said, the time's coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their passions. False teaching is different than truth. Truth often confronts us. It rubs against us the wrong way because it wants to refine us. But false teaching, typically, it gives us license for our sinful proclivities. It makes us feel justified in our lust, our pride, our hatred, our envy, our selfish pursuits, our sinful desires. False teaching gives us license to pursue sinful things or to pursue good things in a sinful way. For example, God has given us the gift of sexual desire. It's to be used between a husband and a wife in a marriage covenant. That's a good gift. So that's a good thing. But to pursue that outside of the way that we are mandated in Scripture is a sinful way to pursue a good thing. And it could be that with lots of different things. And so what false teaching does is it justifies our pursuit of sinful things or our pursuit of good things in a sinful way. So that's the first reason we sometimes want to listen to false teaching, because of our flesh. The second reason is because we're fooled. False teachers are deceptive. Jesus warned us about this in Matthew 7. He said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." He goes on, he says, "Hey, by their fruit you'll know them. And not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven." And so Jesus points out that, hey, look, they're deceptive. They look like they're part of the flock. Fluffy, friendly, cuddly, safe. And part of the reason they look like they're part of the flock, Jesus says, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," is because they use religious language, they use Christianity, they use the name of Jesus as a way to get you in, but then they twist it. And then they use that for their own ambition, their own selfish desires, or their own agendas. And so we can be fooled if we're not careful. False prophets use God talk to manipulate people. And the third reason is we want to fit in. False teachers have influence. And this is very tricky. Part of what makes deception deceptive is how many people buy into it. That's why John tells us the world listens to them. Now listen, we are social creatures, right? Going with the flow is how we get along in the world. There are customs and norms and social things that we all follow, and that's not a bad thing. That's just how we get along in life as human beings. But when it comes to our beliefs, going with the flow is the absolute worst thing that we can do when it comes to the ingredients in our glass. We don't need to just go with the flow. We need to be discerning. And so there are false teachers on the internet who have millions of views, hundreds of thousands of followers. Part of what makes deception deceptive is how many people follow it. And it's easy to go with the flow when what we need to be is discerning. So to recap these reasons really quickly, there are three reasons deception works. Our flesh, we believe it because we want to. It justifies our sinful desires. Fooled, we believe it because we're duped. False teachers are very convincing and fit in because other people believe it. We're willing to believe it. So John gives us the warning to beware. There are false teachers driven by deceptive spirits in the world all around us. And that can feel kind of scary. But John doesn't want us to be afraid. He said we must be aware, but not be afraid. He wants us instead to be encouraged. And so that's our second lesson is to be encouraged, to be confident. Can you just say, "Be confident"? All right, now let's try that again. Be confident.
Be confident.
John wants us to be confident. That's a lot of what this letter is about, is being assured, being confident. 1 John 4:4, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." We read this during worship. I love this. And we're gonna read it at the end as a bookend. This is a powerful verse. If you haven't memorized this scripture, I'd encourage you to memorize this verse of scripture. There are four reasons embedded in this verse for why we as Christians can be confident. So let's take a look at these four. First, you are from God. Look at somebody and say, "You are from God." Now say it like they need to hear it. You're from God. If you are in Christ, you've been reborn through your trust in Jesus Christ, and you are from God. That means that you are a part of his family. You are a part of his kingdom. You are accepted and loved and received by him. And the scripture says that you are his ambassador in the world, that you are his light. You are to be salt of the earth and light of the world. You are from God. That's the first reason to be confident. Here's the second reason to be confident. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Now I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. We talked about Jesus earlier. the second person in the Trinity. God the Father is the first person of the Trinity. Holy Spirit's the third person of the Trinity. Another brain breaker. One God, three persons, three in one. The Holy Spirit is God. That means that everything that God is, the Holy Spirit is. Good, faithful, all-powerful, loving. Do you ever think about the fact that the Holy Spirit loves you? The Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit is good because God is good. So everything God is, the Holy Spirit is. And in my life, there have been times where I was cool. Maybe you can relate, and I know many Christians that feel the same way. Cool with God the Father, cool. Cool with Jesus Christ the Savior, cool. Holy Spirit, ooh, spooky. The Holy Spirit is God and the Holy Spirit is good. The Holy Spirit is good, and the Holy Spirit being God is infinitely greater than anyone else in the universe, which means we can trust him, fully trust the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit is good, the Holy Spirit is greater, so trust the Holy Spirit. That's a second reason why we can be confident, because the Holy Spirit is in you. Third, you have overcome the false teachers and false spirits by your faith in Jesus Christ. You're an overcomer. Now, I know we haven't gotten this far in the book yet, but in a few weeks, we're gonna hit chapter 5. And here's what it says in 1 John 5:4. Everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. Abiding in Jesus Christ, your faith in Christ, your relationship with Jesus Christ makes you an overcomer. So you are an overcomer. So have confidence because you're an overcomer. And finally, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That one that's in you is greater than anything you will confront in this world, any deceptive spirit, any false teaching. You don't have to be afraid of deception and false teaching because the one in you is greater than the one in the world. You have the greatest power in the universe on your side. He's got your back. You can be confident in him. So we've been warned to watch out for false teaching. We've been encouraged to have confidence in the Holy Spirit. And now some advice. Be discerning. Be discerning. This passage is all about being discerning about what we have in the glass in front of us. Now, how do we be discerning? I think it boils down to two words, test and trust. Test and trust. First, test. Don't believe every spirit. Instead, test them. Test the false prophets, the false teachers, the influencers. They look good and sound good. They're wolves in sheep's clothing, but Jesus says, by their fruits, you will know them. And so, an easy way to test, I think, boils down to their lips and their lives. Their lips is the content of their teaching. What's their message? What do they say about Jesus? Do they confess Jesus correctly or not? Do they teach what's contrary to the word of God or aligned with the word of God? So look at their lips and then look at their lives. How do they live? What's their character like? Do they follow Christ? Do they manifest the fruit of the Spirit? Do they walk in humility and servanthood? Do they seek to glorify God, or are they trying to get glory for themselves? Look at their lips and look at their lives. Do they live righteously? And I love that this aligns with what we're all about here. His word, our walk. The word and the walk, lips and lives. So test. And then second, we need to trust. Trust, that means listen to the teaching of the apostles in the word of God. Because the apostles knew Jesus. They were eyewitnesses. They heard his teaching with their own ears. They saw his miracles with their own eyes. They were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. So they know what they're talking about. That's why John says, hey, those who don't listen to us, they're not from us. They don't know what they're talking about. They're making up stuff. We know what we're talking about. We were there. We saw it. You can trust us. And these were the people that God raised up uniquely in human history and gave their teaching, which we now have as the New Testament. So we know that we can trust the apostles' teaching and what we have in the word of God. So my advice is savor the scriptures. Savor the scriptures. Be in the word of God. And that will help you to be discerning. So let's quickly review what we've talked about today. Every Christian can defeat spiritual deception three ways. Beware of false prophets. Be confident in the Holy Spirit who lives in you, and be discerning to test the spirits and trust the apostles. And then there are two more key ingredients that we've seen today that I just want to make sure we hit one last time to make sure that we're drinking from the right glass. Center on the Savior, who the scriptures say Jesus is, not some cultural idea about Jesus, not who somebody else says about Jesus, what the word of God says about Jesus. Get to know him, abide in him, pray to him, grow in your relationship and your walk with him. Get to know the Savior's song so well that when some other song comes your way, you'll be able to identify that's not it. And submit to the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is good. The Holy Spirit is greater. And in the words of Jesus, recorded by John, the Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth. And that's how we can guard against spiritual deception. I want to read this scripture over you, and I want you to receive this truth from the Word of God as we close. I don't know if you want to just close your eyes and hear these words, let them wash over you, let them penetrate your heart and your mind and encourage you. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Well, we're gonna have a mission moment here in just a second. And that's how we're gonna end our service. But before we do, we're talking about having right teaching. And so we thought it would be great for us to just stand and to recite the Apostles' Creed, those core tenets of our faith, together as we close. So would you stand with me and we will recite the Apostles' Creed together. Let's affirm these core tenets of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.